You're listening to the Back Home Network, presented by Homefield Apparel.
And welcome, Hoosier fans, to another victorious Big Ten Tournament episode of the Assembly Call. As tonight, your Indiana Hoosiers prevail over the Maryland Terrapins 70-60. Turning a halftime deficit into a 10-point victory, Indiana's first ever victory as the number 3 seed in the Big Ten tournament, and it moves Mike Woodson now to 3-1 in Big Ten tournament play all time as the Hoosiers get their 22nd victory of the season. And we're going to break it all down for you on this edition of the Assembly Call. I am Jared Morris, your host. We got a full house. Ryan is here. Coach Tonsoni is here live on location in Chicago. And Coach Marlowe is here as well. And gentlemen, let's start this show the way that we start every show. And that is with our Hoosier Proud banner moment. And, you know, I'm going to go back to about the midpoint in the second half when Indiana took control of this game and didn't relinquish it. Maryland led 41-34 in the second half, had a layup driving to go up 9. They missed it. Trey Galloway got the rebound, got it out on the break, which was a theme for Indiana tonight, pushing offense off of misses, got it to Miller Kopp for a huge three-pointer that gave kind of stopped some Maryland momentum and got Indiana back into it. And then what happened next, to me, really was the story of the game. It's 43-39. Malik Renew gets it on the block, hits that little jump hook over Dante Scott, who fouled him, didn't get called, but whatever. And then on the other end, Dante Scott tried to post Malik up. He stayed really solid, didn't foul. Trace came over and got a block. Jalen Hood-Schifino got it, drove, scored. That tied it at 43. Maryland had to take a timeout, and then it was all Trace. I think Trace scored on the next 3 or 4 possessions as they just kept feeding him, and it ultimately ended with Scoop hitting a dagger 3, made it 54-43. It was a 15-0 run by IU and turned a 7-point deficit into an 11-point lead. But in that stretch, it showed you all the things, all the reasons why this Indiana team can make a run, not just in this Big Ten tournament, but potentially in the NCAA tournament. You have Trace Jackson-Davis, who continues to put up stat lines that people just have never seen before because he's an incredible player. You have Jalen Hood-Schifino able to make plays off the dribble. And then tonight, you had continued bench contributions from Malik Renew, who stepped up huge, especially in the first half with Race Thompson struggling and Tamar Bates, who continued his strong defense from the Michigan game tonight and then knocked down that 3 as well. So just a terrific team sequence by IU to take what had been a Maryland lead and turn it into, you know, control of the game that Indiana wouldn't relinquish. I think Maryland got it down to 5 or 6 at 1 or 2 points from then on, but Indiana controlled it for the rest of the game, and that stretch right there was what really turned the tide. All right, now let's talk about our presenting sponsor. Yes, our banner moment, as always, brought to you by our friends at Homefield Apparel, now in their 6th season of sponsoring the Assembly Call and their 2nd as the presenting sponsor for the Back Home Network. As you know, Homefield has the largest collection of vintage IU apparel that you will find anywhere, with so many old classic logos that so many of us love and adore. And it's not just Indiana. They do this for 130, 140, 150 schools, whatever the number is. But for you Indiana fans, make sure that you pay attention, because Homefield announced just today that they're bringing back the bomber jackets. So you want to go to their Twitter, you know, at Homefield Apparel, go to their website, make sure that you get on those alerts if you want to get that jacket. Because the thing with Homefield is when they release these new items, and especially the popular ones like the bomber jacket, they go fast. I mean, if you're not there in like the first 5 or 10 minutes after that thing is released, you're probably not going to get it, because they just have so much loyalty, there's so much enthusiasm, and because everything that they do is high quality. The materials are high quality, the logos are great, you know, on the t-shirts and crew necks and hoodies, you can wash them and the colors stay. It's just quality products from quality people. It's an Indiana-based company, came up through the Kelley School of Business. We love supporting them. We really appreciate their support for us. And we recommend that you go there, homefieldapparel.com. If it's your first time, you can use our promo code HOME, H-O-M-E, and that will get you 15% off your first order. The website, again, homefieldapparel.com, promo code HOME, wear one for the team. All righty. Well, it is time to move the ball, find the open man, and get some opening thoughts from the rest of our team. And, Coach, you are live there in Chicago. We will start with you. What were your thoughts being there in person to see this IU victory?
Well, you know, Indiana survived a very physical basketball game early on. The post play, they were just hammering the heck out of Indiana and missing shots early. And Indiana was able to stay with it, even though they were struggling offensively. I thought the second half, whatever was said in halftime, defensively was fantastic. And they ran better stuff offensively in the second half as well. I have it in my notes. There were some great action. There's even a triple ball screen type action at one point that I just thought Indiana had two halves, but even they're only down two. And I think Tamar Bates and Malik Renew really impacted winning tonight. There was a sequence there of two plays in a row by Bates defensively where he got a steal on a double down, and then he just locked in a stance and was fantastic and stopped a play two straight times. And if he can do that, then he's going to add something. But great adjustment in the second half by the Hoosiers. And they were very focused, and there was a lot of enthusiasm. I had a pretty good look at them being a couple rows back. A very, very determined group of young men. So outstanding performance overall.
And now on we go to play Penn State in the next round and Micah Shrewsbury, which should be a very interesting matchup. Ryan, let's go to you. You know, the way the first half went, I thought for sure we'd be coming on here and you'd be ranting about Indiana's poor closeouts on three-point shooting. And maybe you still will, but at least it will now be framed within the context of a victory. So what's on your mind?
I'll say with about 2 minutes left in the first half, the defense woke up a little bit. And they got some stops where I don't think their technique was great, but the hustle was there at the end of the first half. I think that they were still kind of not communicating right and all that, but they did chase the ball well. Maryland got a little uncomfortable. Indiana made a little run to get it close at the end of the first half. And then they started the second half, looked a little dicey to start, but they rounded into form. And I mean, I'm just going to give you, I know this isn't the numbers segment, but this is to praise one guy. In the loss at College Park, Jameer Young scored 20 points, went 3 of 6 from three. He only hit 6 of 15 from the field, but he also was moving so much and getting whatever he wanted that it felt like he was setting the table for everything they were doing. Tonight, he finished with 12 points. 5 of that came at the free throw line on a couple of questionable calls. He finished 3 of 15 from the field and 1 of 5 from three, and he was a minus 10 in 36 minutes. Jalen Hood-Schifino, take a bow. In the first half, he looked lost trying to defend him. In the second half, he bowed up and was physical with him, would not let him turn the corner. And if he did turn the corner, he made sure he had help to slow that movement. Didn't let Jameer Young get going. And I feel like he's at the epicenter of everything they do. Not their leading scorer, you know, necessarily every game or anything. But when he can flow through the defense, it opens everything up because you got to keep your eye on him. And tonight, everybody else in the second half could focus on their men, could keep with their rotations because they didn't have to worry about that guy gutting them up the middle.
Well, it looks like we have a special guest here on the assembly call. Coach, who do you have here with us live in Chicago?
I have Jeff Goodman.
Who's that guy?
I'm not playing. He's got a lot of other things going on, but you got a couple minutes.
Sure, of course.
Thanks for stopping by. We appreciate your work. How about those Hoosiers this evening?
Listen, it's crazy what a year. I kind of tweeted that at the end. I mean, a year ago, you're talking about this team using this tournament to get into the NCAA tournament. And now a year later, you're looking at, all right, seeding, maybe winning this whole thing. I mean, certainly you're right there with Purdue favored to win this thing right now. And, you know, again, when you got Trace and you got Jalen, you got a shot every game. And then, you know, Tamar makes a big shot tonight. I mean, that was a huge three, you know, for his confidence and kind of getting into the NCAA tournament. That's what you're going to need. You're going to need those guys to step up. But, again, I'm just so impressed with both Trace and Jalen and kind of the poise they play with and the kind of even keel attitude that they bring.
What's the ceiling for this Indiana team and what's the key to reaching it?
I mean, I think they can make the Final Four. I don't know if they can win 6 straight just because of the way they shoot the ball from 3. That scares me, to be honest. But again, they defend. They show that in the second half, right? I mean, that first part of the second half, they got back to what makes them really good defensively. But again, listen, even when I say that, like, I don't know if they can win six straight. I don't know who can win six straight. You know, UCLA is without Jalen Clark now. Alabama looked really good today, but it was Mississippi State. I still have questions about them. You know, everybody. Houston's probably the one team that I still have the most faith in. But ultimately, this Indiana team, if they catch fire, and again, guys like Bates and, Galloway make shots from deep. And really, Jalen makes shots from deep. I think he's got to do that. He made a big one tonight, the end of the shot clock there that was kind of the dagger. I mean, it just kind of came to him. But, again, his poise, man, he's not – you can't convince me he's a freshman.
Well, I appreciate you stopping by with just a wave. Good to talk to you. Have a great stay here in Chicago. Your daughter's up here. So enjoy some basketball.
Yeah, it was fun. You know, I didn't even sit in press row. I just sat with her and her friend and watched the game, and it was – it's awesome. Fun.
All right, my friend. You got it. We'll see
you.
Yep.
Thanks, Jeff. I got
to say, there you go.
That was cool. Real quick, coach pulling a Chad is outstanding.
That's right.
Nice job, coach. Just grabbing people.
Well done.
People from on site.
Jeff Goodman and Coach Tom Soni live in Chicago. We love it.
What a pair.
We love it. That was great. All right, Coach Marlowe, let's get your opening thoughts on this Indiana victory.
Well, before I give you that, Coach, I just want to know what the crowd sounded incredible on TV. Was it as incredible live?
It was remarkable. I had a Purdue fan text me saying they felt like they was in Assembly Hall. And I said, well, get used to it. We're going to take over Chicago. So, yeah, it was fantastic.
Yeah, I just think that the thing I'll open up with tonight is tonight again shows that, like Jeff said, that we have the ability to play with some of the best teams in the country. We can get to a Final Four. I think the thing that's frustrating for me as a coach and is frustrating for a lot of the fan base is, why is a team that can play as well as they do have a 10-minute lapse in the first half where they look like they couldn't beat, well, hyperbole, a high school team? They just looked lost for about 10 to 12 minutes of the first half. And I think that's what frustrates a lot of the fan base and a lot of, and even me. I don't know how you leave people open. I mean, Maryland only was going to beat you from outside, and too many
preview
times
of tomorrow, basically now,
huh?
Basically a preview of what's going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah, and I don't understand. And even in the second half, when we were up 8-10 points, we were still sucking in on drives into the lane. Let them have a layup at that point. The three is what's going to beat you at that. And I don't quite get what where they're losing their focus on the defensive end. But I also want to go back, and Ryan, I'll build off what you're talking about with Jalen, but I thought Tamar had maybe his best defensive game in a month or more.
It's building. It's building.
So, and I think that's, I've always felt like that was, and I maybe bring Coach Tonsoni in on this as well. I always told kids that if you want to get your shot back, you need to do things on the defensive end. You got to rebound, you got to get some tips, you got to get some steals. And then the offense seems to flow a little better. And I think that may help him. And I thought tonight, Tamar played as well as I've seen him play. He didn't score a ton, but I'll talk about Malik a little bit later because I really thought Malik played well off the bench. But I really wanted to give props to Tamar for his defensive effort tonight.
I think it's one of the biggest storylines of the game is the production off the bench, because Indiana really needed it, because Trey was struggling. Both, Trey kind of looked like he did in the Big Ten tournament last year. It's almost like he was a quarter step too fast. Everything was just a little bit too fast offensively. He was fouling, kind of struggled to get in the flow. And I thought Tamar's minutes were huge. You're right. The defense was
same
better.
Same as against Michigan.
Yeah, and it was great that, he made that nice little play. It was either Trace missed it or Trace passed it to him. I don't remember what, but he hit that little 3-4 foot floater.
No, the ball rolled. The ball got knocked out of his hands. It rolled on the floor, came right to him, and he turned around and didn't hesitate and laid it in.
That's what it was.
Little jumper, but yeah.
Yeah, and so about 5 minutes before he made that three, I tweeted out, "We need to get Tamar a shot. He's going to make it. He's already seen the ball go through the basket. He's locked in on defense." And to your point, Coach Marlowe, you get in the flow of the game like that. And that's been an issue Tamar has had, is struggling to get in the flow of the game when he's not scoring points. And now in these last two games, we've seen him get in the flow of the game other ways, and then the points have come. And that is a real sign of maturity for him. And Ryan, Malik Renew's minutes were huge. He scores 8 points, has 11 rebounds. And I thought in the first half, when Indiana was basically just trying to keep it at arm's length, Maryland would push it out to 6 or 8, and Indiana would make a couple plays. And Maryland would push it back out, and Indiana would make a couple plays. And on a night when Race Thompson really struggled to get in the flow,
came back to
needed
the
someone, you needed someone down low to play. And I thought Malik, I mean, outside of going a little bit too quick on a couple of drives, which he probably isn't ready for right now, otherwise, that's some of the best defense we've seen from him in terms of not fouling, playing on the perimeter, playing inside. He was terrific. And that kind of bench production, that is what this team has been missing. And if they can start to get that from Malik and Scoop, that makes Indiana really dangerous, because now you can live with Trey and Ray struggling because you've got a couple of other guys who can come in. And for a long time this season, Indiana hasn't had that.
Yeah, what I'll say about Malik is he came in and immediately got a ball at the top of the key and tried to beat Trace and tried to drive through another team. And that's, Maryland has a great defense. They're very handsy. They're going to reach in and knock the ball loose. He's a freshman, but at this point in the season, you got to know that's not what you're looking for Indiana, especially when Trace is already posted up down low. You're driving into a sea of defenders. But what I'll say about him is he never got rattled by that. Now, he got rattled. He got sped up into those plays, but he never got rattled. Four offensive rebounds, all four of which were huge to keep Indiana going. A couple of them off Trace misses, you know, where you're expecting Trace to make these plays. He doesn't, and Malik's right there. And that hook shot is a thing of beauty. It's only going to get better. But his ability to finish around the rim has been outstanding this year. And you look at it in 21 minutes, plus 15 while he was on the floor. That tells you how good he was tonight. And again, you're right. Race Thompson, phenomenal against Michigan, bad tonight. Hopefully we're going to see water find its level somewhere in there. But really just not a great game from Race. I thought he was just affected by it, you know, and just did not play well mentally tonight. But the thing about Malik is that's a podium game, and he's sitting on the podium right now with Jalen and Trace, and he deserves it. Not, you know, and that's the thing. You're one of your senior leaders, had 10 points tonight, more points than him, hit a couple big shots, hit some free throws at the end. Nope, it's Malik up there because of how well he played, and he deserves it.
I just don't think there's a good matchup for Race against Maryland, and I'm not sure.
No, there
isn't. Tomorrow. I'm not sure it's a good one tomorrow. I wouldn't mind seeing him renew some more minutes tomorrow.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that later, because obviously Indiana's going to have to approach that game a lot differently than they approached the first one. And on that note, Coach Tom, I want to bring it back to you in terms of the defense. You know, because if Indiana is as inattentive on the three-point defense tomorrow as they were for stretches tonight, Penn State can make it a long night for you. And I'm curious, being there, because, you know, this Indiana team, I mean, they came out and played hard. It wasn't an effort thing. Outside of maybe that one replay they showed of Race a couple times, where I think that was more of just him not quite paying attention and being in between where he should go. I don't think it was that he was loafing. But I'm curious, what to you caused them to get those open looks? Is that just a symptom of the defense Indiana is playing that we've talked about kind of throughout the year? Or did you see some execution issues on the players' part that you thought was more the culprit?
Well, the one possession, it looked like they were zoning the post up, and then the cutter came through, and it went all the way to the corner, and they never rotated out.
I don't think they were. I think that's just how bad it was, Coach.
No communication
on it.
That's exactly what it was. Because here's the thing. One guy was open in the left corner and hit the three. There was somebody in the right corner wide open, too, that nobody was guarding. They had five guys guarding three people. And it was just miscommunication. It's all it was. Yeah. Nobody talked about the cutter going to the corner. Trace tried,
I just think they were a little slow on closeouts. Race had one in the second half where he hesitated and Scott banged a three. And you can't hesitate on shooters. You got to get there on the catch. And if you're not on there on the catch, then you're going to give up threes to good shooters. So it was attention to detail a little bit. Their intensity was so much better in the second half. You know, and we saw it all tournament. The team that hasn't played came out a little bit lackadaisical, and Indiana got some offense going early by breaking the press. They ran a little C-cut action. The inbounder cuts through the center. I liked that adjustment, and they threw over the top, and they were attacking. The good start was offensively, and then the slow start that we asked Mike DeCourcy about on the banner moment, that happened defensively, and it kicked in at the right time.
One more thing about the set, because I know you want to break, Jared. I just think it's worth noting that we're talking about defense and talking about how these guys stepped up. Maryland shot 25% in the second half, and I know we're not in the numbers segment and everything, but I think we just need to linger on that. Miller Kopp played great defense. He was out there sometimes on Young at times and not letting him get to the hoop. But I do think that, you know, there are guys you expect to be, you expect Trace to be great. You expect, you know, Galloway when he's in there to put in the effort. I thought he was late on some closeouts tonight, but nothing that really damaged Indiana long-term. But Bates and Jalen Hood-Schifino and Miller Kopp shut Maryland down in the second half from the perimeter and did a phenomenal job, and they deserve to be praised. And Renew on the interior, result when he was in there, guarded without fouling, played solid defense, made the right decisions, and was where he needed to be to grab 7 rebounds defensively when Maryland was hunting offensive rebounds, and he was able to shut that down as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think the 3-point defense really stands out because of Indiana's opponent tomorrow and knowing how important it's going to be.
It does.
But overall, this was a terrific defensive effort from Indiana. They held Maryland to 0.95 points per possession. You know, Maryland got those 15 offensive rebounds, but Indiana held them to 8 second chance points. You know, forced them into 6 of 21 on layups. And a lot of that was just, you know, I mean, obviously Trace is a big part of that, but a lot of that is just because they didn't, you know, they competed on drives. Even if a guy got a step, you know, they were there with them and didn't, you know, didn't just usher them to the lane, but actually competed and let the help get there. So, no, it's a good point, Ryan. Overall, this was a really good defensive performance.
In the
Unfortunately,
second half,
the one blemish is the thing that could really hurt Indiana tomorrow that they're going to have to get figured out.
And in the second half, 0.839 points per possession. Just an outstanding effort. And you know, Maryland cooled off a little too, but the effort was what I think caused it.
Yep, so. Absolutely. All right, coming up here as we continue our breakdown of Indiana's 10-point victory in the Big Ten tournament, we will point out tonight's meaningful moments you might have missed, and then we'll go inside the numbers to highlight some more of the most important statistical notes from this game. You are listening to the Assembly Call. Stick with us.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
This is Verdell Jones. What's better than an epic buzzer beater? A full court dribble and a perfectly placed pass to set it all up. And, of course, celebrating with Hoosier Nation afterwards. So join Jared, Andy, Ryan, and Coach on the Assembly Call after every IU basketball game. Go Hoosier.
Thank you, Verdell. You are listening to the Assembly Call IU postgame show. I'm Jared Morris here with Ryan Phillips, the coach Brian Tonsoni, the coach Jeff Marlowe. A fun night talking about a Big Ten tournament victory, which is always exciting. And it is the top of segment 2, and so you know what that means.
Meaningful moments that you might have missed.
That's right. It's time for tonight's Meaningful Moments That You Might Have Missed, brought to you by our friends at Hoosier Ticket Project, where they help individuals and families experience IU athletic events in person for the first time through the generosity of alumni and fans. To learn more about how you can donate money or extra tickets to help create meaningful moments for other IU fans, visit HoosierTicketProject.org. That's HoosierTicketProject.org. So several of these to go through. And, you know, Coach Tonsoni, I'm going to go back to the first half. And again, you know, I think the theme of the first half, Indiana jumped out to that big lead, not big lead, but they jumped out to a lead early, playing really well, made their first 5 shots. And then Maryland pretty quickly thereafter kind of took control back. And, you know, they'd get it up to 8, Indiana would push it back. And so late in the first half, Maryland ends up pushing it out to a 30-22 lead. And you will remember maybe the worst defensive play of the night, Jordan Geronimo doubling off of Dante Scott, and he's wide open for a 3. He makes it, And it really, you know, kind of felt a little uneasy at that point. And I thought what Indiana did next was huge. Jalen comes down.
A little uneasy? Sorry.
Well, okay. I know, but it was the first half. I was trying not to overreact. But Jalen comes down and does what he does, man. And just hits a huge shot that Indiana needed. That made it 30-24. And then on the next possession, he drove, lost the ball. Malik, you know, somehow came up with it and scored. And that made it 30-26. And I just thought that was a huge 4-0 run and indicative of what Indiana was able to do to just keep touch. And then, of course, in the second half, they exploded forward, you know, took the lead and never relinquished it. But I thought that stretch, especially coming from two freshmen, getting big buckets like that, you know, in that spot, was really, really big for Indiana, just to make sure that they went into halftime, you know, without facing, you know, a big deficit.
Yeah, it you had to. And this team has handled adversity within a game at times. And then other times they haven't, and it's gotten away from them. But I thought that's been one of the strengths that they've had so far. But, you know, Hood Schifino's just a big shot dude. I know he's had some games where he's missed some shots, but he's
a dude.
So smooth. And,
he's just a dude.
And they go to him in timeouts with that little handoff action, zipper, sideline zipper into a handoff, late shot clock. Yeah, put the ball in his hands, but it was important. And Renew was just great all night long. He just was playing. You could tell. You could tell. And Coach Marlowe, you've been around the game coaching. You can tell when guys are locked in and when guys aren't. And Renew was, and that was a big stretch. And even to finish out the half, to only be down two was very huge.
Yeah, you know, on that point of Jalen, you know, being a big shot maker, I mean, he's just a big game player. You know, that's what we've learned about him is when the lights shine bright, he comes through. You think about the North Carolina game. You think about the Purdue games. Now, sometimes a Tuesday night game in College Park, he goes 1-for-14, you know, or against Iowa, he struggles. And so in some of those, he doesn't yet have the game-to-game consistency, which is fine. He's a freshman. But his ability to step up in big moments on big stages is unbelievable. And it's part of what makes him special. And that's why I had a lot of confidence coming into tonight's game that he was going to play well, because it's a big spot. And this is the kind of moment that he shined in, and he
exercised some demons from the first one too.
Yep. All right, Ryan, I know you have a moment as well.
Yeah. With 4:06 left, Trace Jackson Davis hit two free throws to make it a 10-point lead. And then, Race commits a foul. Jameer Young hits two free throws. Race throws the ball away.
Oh boy.
Jameer Young hits another bucket. It's 6 points. Throws it away again. Galloway with a foul. You know, they look like they're heading to the line to make it four. They miss the free throw. Race does get the rebound, comes down, finds Trace. They find Trace, and he throws it in. And Race, after some bad plays and being really bad, like, you know, really a terrible sequence, finishes the layup and makes it, gets it back out to eight, and you get a little breathing room there. And I thought it was just, I thought in that situation, Mike Woodson had to stick with him because he's your veteran. He's longer. He's better at inbounding the ball than Renew is, even though he didn't show it in those moments. He's better at inbounding the ball and better at handling the ball for passing. And also, you know, the length and his ability to switch with Trace Jackson Davis. They have their own language. They're good with each other. They know each other. I just think he had to stick with him, and it was really nice to see Race with 3 minutes left get that ball, put it in the hoop, and just kind of exhale a little. So we didn't get yanked after a terrible sequence and never see the floor again. He was able to kind of do that. Okay, I know he made a mistake on a closeout later, but, you know, it was nice to sort of settle right there because they cut it down to six. They had the chance to cut it to four. Instead, you're back up eight.
You know, and shoot, I mean, on that point, I think what happened a little bit later than the sequence that you're talking about, when it was 63-57, there's that broken play, you know, Race got the loose ball after Maryland poked it away from him, or poked it away from Trace, 3 seconds left on the shot clock, gets it over to Jalen, and he drains that three, you know, which is
that's not a meaningful moment anybody missed. That was just huge.
Right.
I mean,
but it was huge. Think about that ended the game, basically.
Well, think about that. He did it against Michigan. He had that big three against Michigan. Had the big three against Illinois. How many big shots did he have against Purdue in both games?
That's what he does, man.
It's just I hate to put it this way, but it's a big ball shot. He's a freshman, and he just said, nope, I'm taking it. Took one dribble, pulled up right into it, nailed it.
Yep. Coach Marlowe, any moments stand out for you?
Not now.
Did I take yours again?
You just took it.
Okay, wait. But was your moment Jalen's three?
Yes.
Okay. Well, no one missed that one. That one doesn't even count. I was just tossing it in to make sure we covered it.
It's a meaningful moment that nobody missed. I'm not sure about that.
We're making the assumption that everybody's watching the game at the same time and then jumping on here and is watching.
You're right. You know what? Someone might have been at the concession stand. It's fair.
You know. Okay. Right. But, you know,
okay. Next time.
Nobody missed race turning it over two times in a row either.
All right. Next time Coach comes on, he gets to go first. Okay, he gets to go first on meaningful moments because we continually take his. I'll tell you the other one that I thought was really important was at the beginning of the second half, Trace picking up the third foul on Reese.
Yes.
It really kind of felt like the game changed because Reese, when did he get his second foul? He got a second foul a little bit later in the first half, right?
It was like midway, wasn't it?
Yeah, okay, maybe it was a little bit midway, but getting him that third foul, and then he got the fourth one later, he was never able to get into it in the second half.
And neither was their other big guy because he got in foul trouble. But I'll say this, too. I will say one problem I have is they got him the third foul. They left him in there, which was ballsy by Willard, but they threw the ball into him to Trace, and he lost it out of bounds. And for five straight possessions, he didn't get a touch. And that is just bad basketball IQ by the team. Go right back at him. And when they finally did go back at him, he got fouled by somebody else, I think, and shot free throws. And then another time he got it, Reese couldn't do anything. He just stood there while Trace went up and over him. And because he knew he couldn't get a fourth foul that early in the second half. And so it was just one of those things where it's like, oh my God, just go. Just do every time. Make him defend him. And he had like one time he slapped the ball away from Trace. Other than that, he was completely ineffective defensively the rest of the half.
Yeah. Any other moments from you guys before we talk numbers?
Yeah, I will come in with one more. I loved the start. I loved the energy we came out with at the beginning of the game. And I thought that we really had a good energy and a good vibe. Now, it went away, but I really liked the way
It tapered off slowly.
But I really liked the way we jumped out. It looked like it was such a better start than we've had in some of our games away from Assembly Hall, whether they've been neutral site game, whether they've been true road games. It was just a much better start. And I thought that boded well for the game, but obviously it didn't play out through the first half. But I really love the start, and I hope they can bring that tomorrow and keep that energy going.
Well, hey, without that start, you're not where you are at the end. I mean, let's be real. You know, it gets away from you early.
It's pace. I wrote in my notes, pace, pace, pace. They attacked the press. They went over the top, and they attacked the press.
Did not bother them.
And that's that C-cut action that they put in that's kind of new, or they went to it, at least, if it's not new. They threw the ball down the middle. But they were aggressive. And then when Indiana started scoring, I thought they were a little more aggressive, too. They got passive at about the 11-minute mark, 12-minute mark with their post-up game and ISO game. And Maryland took it away, and they just got stagnant. But when that ball pops and when they get out and go, getting stops themselves, that's a key thing. And then the other quick thing is when you don't give up scoring for 5:22, they can't press, which they can't eat clock at worst and then get you to rush on offense. And so that helps, too, that you're getting stops that way.
And the flip side of that, though, too, Coach, is we've been doing a little better job of pressing, getting at least making the other team get the ball up the floor against some pressure. And we couldn't do that after that first. We were able to do that early in that first 5-7 minutes. But after that, we really struggled to be able to do any of that in that latter part of the first half. But that's one adjustment I really think that meaningful may not be to this game, but meaningful is that Mike Woodson has gone to is picking up a little more three-quarter court and harassing the ball up the floor.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, it's a huge storyline in this game. Is you think back to the game in College Park, and we played at their pace, and it was slow, and it felt like we were stuck in the mud the entire game. And there were portions of this game that felt like that, you know, Coach, in the first half. But when Indiana was able to get out and go, it just helped everything move better, you know, with Maryland unable to kind of to do the press, to set their defense, and Indiana was just much more effective, which was great to see.
Even in the post play, when they made quicker moves instead of the
waiting,
you know, the dribble, crab dribble stuff that they do. And, you know, they were attacking quickly and making quick decisions. So pace isn't always transition. Pace can be how you execute in the half court and how hard you cut and move.
Yep.
Hey, one note, Trace Jackson Davis now 5 points away from tying Don Schlunt for third all time on Indiana's scoring list. I think it's worth charting that because that's the last guy he's going to pass. So that's, you know, because he's going to be 200 plus away from Alford after that. So another I mean, we're going to look at him, you know, in the stat sheet for the rest of our lives being right up at the top in all those.
No, that he is statistically, he's one of the best ever. I mean, the stuff he's doing, and now he's
and his
finishing touches on his legacy with winning.
And his single season numbers are going to be incredible too. Rebounds wise, this season, despite having some help, is already a top eight rebounding season of all time. And it's only going to, of course, increase. I don't know where it is after today. It was top eight, I think, coming into today. And, you know, I mean, the guy's top five in the Big Ten in assists, too. I mean, it's just insane what he's doing.
Yeah, Malik was out there stealing some of his rebounds.
I know.
He got 11. He was taking some. I feel like
what
Race
are you doing,
is comfortable.
Freshman?
Yeah, I feel like Race is comfortable just letting Trace get the rebounds if there's, you know, if there's one that's up for grabs. And Malik just goes up there and grabs it. Love that about him. Let's talk numbers. And Coach Marlowe, we're going to you first. There's a blue ocean. Any number that you want, it's all yours.
Well, I'm going to go to a number I saw on the TV broadcast in case some of our fans were listening to it on the radio. And I'm not going to maybe get this quite right because I know Trace finished up. But I think the TV broadcast said he was the only player in Division I this year who had 21 points. At the time, he had 21 points. So he's the only Division I player with 24 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, 4 blocks, 3 steals. It was something like 21 points and 75. It was some number like that, but where he was the only player in Division I who did it this year. And I want to kind of piggyback off of Ryan with that number. That was the one I was going to point out right now as we talk. And that is staggering. The fact that your 6'10", you know, center is doing that kind of stuff.
Now we'll get into him in a later segment. I feel like it's going to be a unanimous segment.
Maybe game ball, Trace. I think
maybe
the Trace Jackson Davis Game Ball Award. I think we just need to name it after him.
I want to go back to a number, Jared. Again, I keep harping on this, but it's just every time I look deeper into it, it's more staggering. Jameer Young was 1 of 10 in the second half. Mm-hmm. 1 of 10, 0 of 3 from three. He had 4 points at the free throw line. He finished with 6 points in the half, 1 assist. And was negative 11 in 19 minutes. I mean, that's defense. That's directly Jalen Huccifino. And quite like, honestly, we're going to talk game balls in the next segment, but I feel like you could give Co game balls tonight because of how well Jalen played on both ends. We know who's going to win it, but I do feel like that's how well he played. And I think that when you do it on the defensive end, it doesn't get noticed as much. He did great stuff on the offensive end. That's what everyone's talking about. But defensively, what he did in that game was outstanding.
And I don't know if the plan was to have him on Young as much as he was, but when Trey got in foul trouble, he had to. Yeah, no, it was huge. So, you know, as you look at the numbers, you know, obviously the one that jumps out is, you know, Indiana at a 3-point deficit again. And we've seen it a lot. Maryland makes 9 threes. They take 24. Indiana makes 4. They take 10. Now, in the second half, it was even. You know, Maryland made 6 in the first half. Indiana made 1. Indiana evened that up to 3-3 in the second half. And I don't think it's a coincidence that as Indiana got some of those threes, it, you know, three-pointers, Ryan, you talk about this a lot. They're momentum plays. And all three of the ones that Indiana
Miller
hit in the second half were huge. Huge. So it was really big for Indiana to even that up in the second half, but you're still at a deficit of 15 points from the three-point line. How do you make that up? Well, you go to your bread and butter in the paint. You know, if you're not going to make threes, you better dominate in the paint, and Indiana did that tonight. 36 points in the paint to Maryland's 18. I thought Jalen was a little bit better at not settling for jumpers and taking it all the way to the lane. Trace obviously was effective down there. Malik did a nice job. So all those guys contributed to that. And then, you know, even though Indiana gave up the 15 offensive rebounds, as I mentioned, they only gave up 8 second chance points, you know, which was obviously big. And then getting the bench points, you know, when was the last time Indiana, well, I guess they did it against Michigan, but before that game, when was the last time Indiana outscored someone from the bench? And Indiana did that tonight, 13-6. So, you know, look, this Indiana offense is built around the strengths of its two best players. That's not three-point shooting when it comes to Trace and Jalen. And, you know, tonight the formula worked and Indiana was able to, you know, to make more threes in the second half. So this is what it looks like when it's going well for Indiana. And it was nice to see them able to overcome that tonight. Other numbers. Coach or Ryan, if you have one, pop in.
Yeah, I don't know if Coach has one, but the one that stood out to me the most was, keeping going on this, is Maryland was 6 of 21 on layups. You know, they just weren't getting easy shots at the hoop. They were either getting a three wide open or nothing. You know, it felt like for a long time there. And there were a couple straight line drives early, but in general, there wasn't. And they wound up because of that, because they couldn't get easy twos. And three-point shooting is incredibly important, guys. It is, and you need to shoot. I mean, Indiana, they've shown statistically, if they shoot 15 a game, they're almost certainly going to win. Like that has been the pattern. If they shoot 15, they're almost certainly going to win. They shot 10 tonight, but they were able to pull it out of their places. And one of the reasons was they held Maryland to 32% from the field. I mean, that, you know, you do that, you're going to win. I don't care what the rest of the numbers say. You hold the other team that low, you're going to win.
Yep. And, you know, Coach Donsoni, I think the other number that's really interesting, Indiana has 17 assists on its 27 made baskets. Every starter had at least two assists. And that's something that we're seeing more and more now, is more creation from different spots on the floor. It's not just Jalen. It's not just Trace. You know, Miller now, when he pump fakes, you know, and obviously that's frustrating sometimes because we all want to see him take threes, but he's doing a better job of being effective when he attacks a closeout and making a good pass. You know, Race got a couple of assists. Trey, even though he was, you know, going a little bit too fast at times offensively, you know, he had that nice little pocket pass to Trace when they did a pick and roll, and he was able to create a couple times in transition too. So being able to get that kind of creation and playmaking from all five different spots in your starting lineup makes you really hard to guard.
Well, that's kind of the design of the offense, is to isolate the basketball, drive, draw two, and kick, and find an open man, and then swing to, you know, one more passing and all of that. That's the design of the offense. It was designed that way, to have two ball handlers with X and Hood Schifino in, so that ball can kick around, and then you can redrive closeouts. That's winning basketball. We've harped on what we don't like is when you just watch one guy dribble and then launch a three, or you throw it in the post and you crab the dribble. I know Penn State's been very successful at doing that with, you know, Pickett. And it's basketball. Everyone's doing it. But it's how much do you do it, and what else do you play off of that? And I thought Indiana in the second half did some great things. That they ran that, I think, the women's play at 11:29 or something, and got the back rip screen that they run for Mackenzie Holmes. I think they ran that, and then they ran that triple ball screen. So they moved better in the second half. They had more purpose on both ends. But, yeah, those assist numbers really, really speak volumes to a team that's connected and wants to play together.
You know, and the other one that jumps out big time, Indiana shoots 53%, Maryland shoots 32%. Just raw field goal percentage. That's not effective. Maryland's effective field goal percentage, obviously higher because they made threes. But that kind of disparity, you're going to win a lot of games when you do that. And I also thought, you know, only putting Maryland on the free throw line 15 times. You know, we've seen Indiana, you know, have some trouble at times putting other teams on the line a little bit too much. And, you know, tonight wasn't that bad. And also just the 10 turnovers for Indiana, which was nice to see. Any other numbers for you guys that jump out?
Yeah, I'm going to kind of go to the things that got to be cleaned up. They were 12 of 20 at the line. You got to be better at the line in tournament play. And that's got to be cleaned up. And I'm one that's been here to pump my chest about Trey Galloway. Trey Galloway has to be better. He can't put a goose egg in the scoring column and this team be successful going deeper, not only in this tournament, but in the NCAA tournament. And I know you can have a bad night, but Trey's too important for us to have him putting a goose egg up on a night like this.
And if he does, you need Tamar stepping up. And that's the story of tonight, is Trey did struggle, and he does need to be better, and Ray struggled, and he does need to be better. But, boy, when Malik and Tamar can step up and replace some of that production, that's powerful. Because you're going to need to win in different ways and have different guys step up, especially in a tournament, you know, as guys get tired and there's different matchups. And that, you know, for me, that's what I walk away from tonight feeling so encouraged by. Because that's a new dimension that we just haven't seen that much from Indiana this season. Okay, coming up here on the Assembly Call, as we head to our third and final segment, we will hand out our game balls and our Hoosier Hustle Award, discuss a lingering question or two, and then look ahead to that big matchup tomorrow against Penn State, the rematch. That is next here on the Assembly Call. Stick with us.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Devontae Green giving you the green light to watch Assembly Call after every IU game. Just don't listen to their opinions about shot selection. Remember, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Go Hoosiers.
Thank you, Devontae. Boy, doesn't it feel like we've come a long way in the Big Ten tournaments now where we're actually winning games as opposed to just needing Devontae to make like 9 threes in the last 3 minutes to lose by four? Remember yes. that? Remember his just supernova performance against
Ohio
State?
I'd appreciate it if you just...
Well, his individual performance was amazing, but it was just, you know, another in a long line of Big Ten tournament losses. But that's okay. You're listening to the Assembly Call IU postgame show. You can catch us live immediately following every IU basketball game. However many tournament games we play, we will be here with a postgame show, plus every Thursday night at our website, assemblycall.com. We also want to encourage you to sign up for our free IU Hoops email newsletter. We've got about 10,000 of you on that list. It's join.assemblycall.com. join.assemblycall.com. You'll get our Six Banner Sunday every week. We summarize all the IU basketball news, men's and women's. So get on that email list. All right, I'm Jared Morris. Ryan is here. Coach Marlowe is here. Coach Tonsoni is here live from Chicago, breaking down Indiana's 10-point victory over Maryland. And it is time now for our game balls, presented by our friends at Bloom Environmental, where Allie and James and the crew help folks in southern and south central Indiana maintain healthy air quality in their home or business. You can learn more at bloomenviro.com. And when you mention this ad, you get 23% off all of their testing services. That is 23 in honor of TJD. And Coach Tonsoni, we will start with you, and then we'll go to Coach Marlowe so that Ryan and I can't steal whoever his pick is. But who gets your game ball?
It's Trace Jackson Davis tonight. I thought he was, again, outstanding. You guys will talk about the numbers, but the look on his face, especially second half, rebounding the basketball, I thought he was more determined to go get rebounds, even though Malik was stealing quite a few of them. I just thought, again, his consistent play and his getting better within a game is fantastic. So, yeah, Trace Jackson Davis.
Yeah, I'm going to go along with TJD ditto on that. I want to point out just there in the numbers you guys can get into, we've already talked about them a little bit, but there was a point there in the second half where I really felt like you saw the emotion come out. He got a bucket. You saw his emotion come out, and I texted a buddy of mine, and I was like, give it to him. Just feed him, feed him, feed him, because he was into the game, and he wasn't going to be stopped really at that point. And that was the TJD that we've really kind of come to love. And that's the kid that I love watch play, is the kid that when he finally gets it going with the emotion, where you can see him just kind of lift himself in the team. That's the key TJD, and he gets my vote tonight.
I mean, Ryan, we have to linger on the stat line for a little bit.
Yeah,
24 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists, 4 blocks, 3 steals. It may be a long time before we see another stat line like that. I mean,
I completely agree.
He affected every part of the game, and that doesn't even take into account, you know, Maryland goes 6 for 21 on layups. A lot of that is just the Trace factor.
Just him being there. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, a quirk of the stat line, he was 8 of 13 from the field and also 8 of 13 from the free throw line, which I don't know if I've ever seen that before, but outside of a guy going like 1 for 2, you know. But just a staggering, you know. And here's the other thing is we've been trying to say, like, build in chances to get him rest. They took him off the floor. Indiana almost got run out of the building, and they had to put him right back in. Now, part of that is the lineup they put in. It was like Geronimo and Bates, and then your freshman point guard and Galloway. Like, lineup made no sense. It's like, if you're going to take him out, have it be Race and Renew in there.
Yes.
Or, you know, like, and put in, you know, have Miller in there to take some of the pressure off someone like Bates or Galloway or whatever, to have just some senior leadership out there. That's how you rest them. You don't rest them by just making a line change, in my opinion. But whatever, lesson learned. He didn't wait with it. I'll give Woody credit for that. He didn't wait long, and he put him back in. But it does change the team when he's out. And your hope is maybe over the next couple of weeks, when you need to get him a minute, you can put Malik just at that straight five and put Race where he would normally play with TJD, steal a couple minutes that way with Malik. As you know, you don't even have to flip the sides of the offense. He's a lefty too, and just kind of copy paste there for a couple minutes. But
or if you want to go small, put Miller at the four, not
Miller
Jordan
at the four.
I think that's a bad spot to put.
I agree. I don't know why Jordan was in there. I mean, Caleb Banks has been playing better than Jordan has. So
I get playing Jordan. You know, he hasn't played. He was big in the Big Ten tournament last year. See what
and
you
you're
get
hoping
from
for
him.
Some upside. Yeah,
but I thought. I mean, he didn't play well. Clearly, but I also thought that was kind of a bad spot to put him in.
It was absolutely a bad spot to put him in. But I guess I get why you try, though, because the upside there, if he is giving the effort plays and the running the floor and all that, you get a big lift. So it was probably worth the try in this game. It will make no sense if he's out there against Penn State tomorrow. I could see Caleb Banks out there against Penn State tomorrow because of his ability to get out on the perimeter. So we'll see, and his length and stuff like that. So but anyway, we're off topic. Trace, game ball, what do you expect? The guy was unbelievable. He's always unbelievable. I think you give a head nod to Huchifino for his excellent night, but this is Trace all the way.
You know, the irony of Trace's career, I think, is he's so long been known as this guy. Like, his reputation is that he's one-dimensional, right? He's been this guy that he can affect games on the block, but, you know, he can't shoot. He can't go to his right hand. All this stuff. And, you know, what has made this season so special is he has found basically every single way to impact the game besides shooting. He does everything but shoot. And, you know, I think, you know, there were several mock drafts that came out this week that had Jalen as a first round pick and had Trace as a first round pick. I know a lot of people look at that and it's like, well, how can that be if he can't shoot the ball? And it's because look at every single thing that he does on a basketball court to impact the game. You know, he can now switch out on the perimeter and be a credible defender out there in addition to protecting the rim. He can lead the break. You know, he can make passes facing the basket. He can make passes with his back to the basket. And he still has that incredible quickness and ability to score when he gets on the post. He's just, you know, he's become one of the most well-rounded players who can impact the game in so many ways, even though there's that one thing that he can't do. But he's also on a team now that kind of helps pick him up and can make threes with efficiency, you know, and Jalen can make shots. So, you know, when it's working, it fits together well. But he is the guy that makes it go. And, you know, just like tonight, you know, and when Indiana needed to hop on his back at the beginning of the second half and after that run that I talked about in the banner moment when they just kept feeding him, he's the guy. And we'll see how far he can take Indiana. But he just keeps doing things that are unprecedented. We've said it a lot, you know, make sure that we all appreciate this and savor this. And I don't even think it needs to be said because I think every Indiana fan is, you know, I don't sense a lack of appreciation for what Trace is doing. I think all IU fans realize how special this is, what we're seeing, just how spectacular of a player he's become. So Trace's game ball, that's his 19th of the season, but a very hearty hat tip to Jalen for second, because he was terrific tonight as well. All right, let's go to Hoosier Hustle. The Hoosier Real Hustle Award.
Hi, this is Anthony Leal, reminding you to check out our friends at Evansville Security Services. Based in the hometown of IU legend Calvert Cheney, Evansville Security Services has been providing off-duty police officers to businesses and individuals since 2001. In other words, they're in the business of prevention and peace of mind. And remember, prevention cannot be measured. To learn more about how Evansville Security Services can help you preserve your peace of mind by preventing bad outcomes, visit EvansvilleSecurityServices.com. That's EvansvilleSecurityServices.com.
All right, well, there was very little suspense for the game ball, but I feel like there's many different ways that the Hoosier Hustle Award could go, which is usually what happens when Indiana has a win and plays well. So, Coach Marlowe, we will start with you. Who gets your Hoosier Hustle Award?
Yeah, I really felt like you could go with a couple of three different ones, but I'm going to go with Malik Renew, mainly because he came in off the bench. He had those 8 points, the huge 11 rebounds in my book. That was the big thing. He also had I thought he played pretty solid defense. There were a couple times he got stuck on guarding somebody out on the perimeter, and he didn't get exposed as being a bad defender. I thought Malik has shown some improvement in that area as well. So I'm going to go with Malik here because I really felt like his offense and his defense tonight gave us a lift.
Can't go wrong with that one. He was terrific. Coach Tonsoni?
So I think the other choices are Kopp and Bates, if you wanted to go that direction. But I'm also Malik Renew, who else? Oh, Hood Schifino. Who else?
Schifino.
No,
40 minutes. His best defensive performance of the season.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Renew. I had that pegged before Coach Marlowe said that for the same reasons. But I'm also going to say what he did on switches and guarding the ball and guarding players off the bounce. I thought, he deserves that. And I can see Fino as well. But a lot of great hustle efforts tonight. But Renew's come a long way. It's kind of like the Coach of the Year award. The coach that takes the worst team to the highest gets the award. I'm going with Renew because he needed a game like tonight with the 11 rebounds and the 8 points. So that's my.
But I tell you,
as well.
isn't that one of the most impressive things about him though, and one of the reasons to be so bullish on his future is that he clearly takes coaching. You know, Woodson harped on it. You know, he's got to learn how to play harder. And he learned how to play harder, but he was fouling all the time. And now maybe what he's learning how to do is play harder without fouling, which is kind of the next step for him. And he just, you know, he keeps getting better, which is great to see. And look, Ryan, it's good when we have fierce debates in the Hoosier Hustle Award on who should get it, because that means it was probably a good performance. So they went with Malik. I think we may be going in a different direction with you know, props to Tamar, who hustled and took a charge, props to Miller Kopp, who hustled and took a charge. But I think we're probably going in the same direction with this one, and we'll have to send it to the chat mob.
Guys, it's Jalen Hood-Schifino. What are you talking? I get Malik Renew was great. I love Malik Renew. He played 40 minutes and guarded his ass off for 40 minutes and scored 19 points, 6 rebounds. He only had 2 assists, but he had 3 blocks too. He doesn't get blocks. He had 3 blocks. I slam dunk for Jalen Hood-Schifino for me. I love the coaches, the two of them. They see things different than us because they're coaches. They view the game from another angle. Whatever you want to say, it's Jalen Hood-Schifino, and Jared and I are correct.
Here's how we'll term this. They're both right because Malik Renew hustled. We're just a little more right because Jalen hustled for 20 more minutes, guarded the best player on Maryland.
I'm fine with that terminology, Jared. Accepted. We can move on.
And this is, you know, this is removing his big shots, right? Those don't get you hustle. Making shots is not about hustle. That's about execution. But I thought, you know, look, there have been games, Iowa, where Jalen's defense has not been very good. And he's been more like a turnstile. And this was not that. And again, I'm not sure if he was expecting to be guarding Jameer Young quite as much as he did tonight, but he was forced into it. And I thought, you know, his hustle really showed there defensively. And I thought his consistent willingness to push it out in transition, you know, get out in the break. I just thought there was a lot of hustle and playing hard from him. And again, we're expecting this guy. It's just assumed now that he's going to play 40 minutes unless he gets into foul trouble. And so I think it's easy to forget, because of how mature he seems and all the big games that he's had, how young this guy is and how much pressure there is on him and the burden that we're placing on him. And he just continues to rise to the occasion in big moments. And tonight, a lot of that was just getting down and doing some dirty work, which, again, we don't always see from him. But when he does it, this is the reason why people are saying he could potentially be a lottery pick and certainly will be a top 20 pick. Because when he puts it all together, he's just a splendid, splendid basketball player. Coach, do you have a retort down there?
It's the difference between coaches and fans.
Oh, God.
That's ouch. I consider myself an analyst,
Coaches or fans? I'm sorry. Who was the one that was screaming this on his porch?
Savino!
Was that Coach Tonsoni or Fan Tonsoni?
That was obviously Fan Tonsoni.
Okay, I'm glad we got that clarified. Hey, I get paid for analysis, by the way. I'm not just a fan on here. I get paid for my sports analysis. I'd appreciate some respect.
Who pays you?
We get paid?
Lead pays me. It's my full-time job. Got health insurance and everything. It's great.
This is the first time, Ryan, that you've ever been wrong.
Wow.
This is the first time that you've ever been wrong.
I don't know whether to be happy about that or angry.
Brian's being stupid again.
There you go. By the way, did you guys, I don't know, I wrote an article about the Northwestern game. If we're on this track. I wrote an article about the Northwestern game and the boo-booey foul, and somebody responded by saying, you know, isn't it great that you have a job where you come on here and point out one call against your alma mater in a game? And I responded, yeah, you know, when you put it that way, my job sounds pretty awesome, doesn't
it? Yeah, it's pretty great.
And I was like, yeah, it is. Yeah.
Pretty great. Pretty great. All right, we got to send it. We got to send this to the chat mob. Chat mob, it is between Malik Renew and Jalen Hutschefino. Cast your votes for who gets the Hoosier Hustle Award.
And if you have already voted, recast because we missed it all.
Yes, so put them in there now. Let's go lingering question, and let's go to the coaches for this one because I think the biggest lingering question coming out of this, I mean, look, you know, can we get race back going? Are Malik and Tamar going to be able to continue doing this? But the biggest lingering question, given the opponent for tomorrow, can Indiana guard the three-point line better against Penn State and at least make them uncomfortable, at least make them go to a second and third option? Because the game in Happy Valley was absolutely pathetic. We all agree with that. We all remember it. And I think we all expect this one to be better. So my lingering question, first to you, Coach Tonsoni, and then to you, Coach Marlowe, is how will it be better? What does Indiana need to do to make sure that it's better?
Number one, stay connected to shooters. You know, they love to stop the drive. That's Coach Woodson's thing with the nail slot rim stuff. He doesn't want that ball entering the paint. And then the second thing they got to do is decide what they're going to do with Pickett when he dribbles into the post. Are they going to double? And if you double, you're going to leave shooters open. Do you have someone you believe that can take him one-on-one? And are you willing to let him score in there? Who do you bring help from? Can TJD come and influence his post-up game? But I think that's the issue of how you guard their actions and their ability to just play that what Coach Underwood called booty ball, where he just dribbles for 22 seconds and then kicks it out.
The officials got to be looking for that, by the way.
So I think that's the number one decision tonight for Coach Woodson is, do you double pick it, and then how do you stay connected or closer to shooters without getting the guys in too much of a help position because they're so good, especially that number 10, what's his name? Kid who hit six the other night.
Funk, isn't it? Something
funk,
like that?
Yeah. Funk, yeah, Funk.
He's the one who missed it tonight to go to OT.
Right. You got to stay connected and be there on the catch.
Yeah, he's a knockdown. He's going to make him if he's open. So that does worry me about this. I mean, Penn State did not shoot well tonight. I mean, for most of that game, neither Northwestern nor Penn State was shooting well tonight. I mean, it was pretty bad. Then in overtime, they hit a couple. So what worries me is they weren't good tonight, so they're kind of due to have a big game. And we know that three-point shooting is something that Indiana does not guard well. So if they get comfortable early, the key to me is the defense has to come out hair on fire immediately to not let them get comfortable. In Happy Valley, they got comfortable real quick. So,
all right. So yeah. It's very even. Someone did count and said that it was 13-13. But I think we have to give – maybe we'll give the Hustle Award here to Larry Sims, or maybe this is how we'll do it. He says just give the Hustle Award to Montverde.
Yeah, I think that's
okay.
But who's Montverde's coach? He gets
fair,
it.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough.
We can give him a tie. That's fine to give him a
tie. Yeah,
tie
is fine with
it. Even.
No, they both deserve it.
This is like when CBS used to have the scholarship player of the game, and they couldn't decide, so they should be like, let's
the
give
entire
to
the offensive
yeah,
line.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, so let's flip this now. because ever since the Penn State game, we all have that memory in our brain, and so we know that this is the type of matchup that can give Indiana issues. What are the things that Micah Shrewsbury, coach, like, put yourself in the mind of Micah Shrewsbury. Now come back. Don't stay there forever. Come back to us. But what are the things that he's worried about, you know, in terms of what Indiana can do, with what we have and then their personnel?
Hopefully finding a house in South Bend.
I don't think he has anyone who can stop Trace Jackson Davis. So he's going to have to find a way to muck it up.
Did they double last time, coach?
Some other way. You know, it's been so long. I had the Schifino party, so my memory of that game is kind of.
I don't even think they needed to. I mean, everybody was
right.
So bad.
No, I'm wondering if they came out showing that, and then who cared after that?
I don't remember.
But
it's like one of the things you don't remember is that Trace had 9 blocks against Kansas. Because why would you remember that?
Yeah.
You know,
I think you got to double Trace.
Yeah.
You got to double him and then hope the other players are off, because he's just, make him think. If he reacts and scores and passes, we're unstoppable. But I think you got to, and I would throw doubles from the strong side, and then I would have a call to double from the top side. And again, how much of it is in your game plan already, because you only got a couple hours to put that game plan in. And so you can't practice it. So is it something, what do you have that has been in your package that the kids will understand, but I think it has to involve some sort of getting the ball out of his hands. But then you got Hood Schifino too. So that's, you got to pick your poison. I'd force Hood Schifino to beat you, even though that's scary.
Yeah, I would too. Mm-hmm. Now, forcing a freshman to have back-to-back great games in a tournament setting.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But I also think it's also on the offensive end, Brian. If I'm Micah Shrewsbury, I'm doing things that pull TJD away from the basket. And I know he can guard it. I'm not saying he can't, but I'm just going to pull him away from the basket and see if I can open up some things, maybe on some back cuts or at least some driving lanes where then we're going to collapse, and that's going to leave shooters open. So I'm going to do what I could. If I'm Micah Shrewsbury, I'm going to try and pull TJD away from the basket.
They got that big center too in his seventh year of basketball that can hit threes, so that does keep Trace away from, doubling on Pickett. And I that's the key. Again, how is Shrewsbury and Penn State going to guard TJD? And then how's IU going to guard the dribble post up for Pickett? The team that makes the best choice is going to win the game.
Yeah. Coach, one thing we haven't seen a whole lot of Indiana this year is, and this is kind of a basic triangle look where you put your best shooter on the same side as your post guy so that you have to make the double a lot harder, because you can't double with your closest guy. He's covering your best shooter. And then you put your best driver on the opposite side. And that's basically what the triangle was. So that if you double from the backside, your best driver's got an open lane to the basket. I'm wondering why Indiana hasn't done that short side with Miller Kopp and Trace. And Miller Kopp makes fine post entries, and maybe put Jalen at the top of the key instead, make it so the double has to come from further away. And then when it does, that makes their rotations even more screwed up. Cause you saw tonight they were just straight doubling off of Jalen's guy and rotating over that way. So I'm interested to see if we get that wrinkle at some point, because it's such an obvious solution to getting more 3-pointers is to put your best 3-point shooter on the same side as your post guy.
If they're doubling from the entry pass.
Yeah, that's one thing.
If they're not doubling from the entry pass and they're staying, then you got a Laker cut and cut him opposite. And then you got the Laker cut and the dive that's supposed to take away help. And then that ball, Hood Schifino comes over.
And the rotation is moving towards the post player instead of away from it. Yeah.
But they did do that a couple times.
They did. They wound up on the same side twice, and that's what gave me the idea. But they wound up on the same side twice because Jalen chose to go the other way with the dribble.
And Tamar had it a couple times.
Yes. Yeah. But I don't think they designate Tamar as, in the shooter spot necessarily, because he's usually out there with me. He was out there with Miller a lot. So But you're right. And Tamar did, has gotten shots off that this year, certainly. So it's just interesting. It's you're wondering if there's going to be like any wrinkle like that thrown in. That's not like redoing your system. It's just sort of changing the way it's covered.
Ryan, I thought it was interesting that Willard made the comment to the TV tonight that Mike Woodson's putting in even more NBA concepts. At least that was the comment he made on the Big Ten Network broadcast tonight. And so I think we're seeing some of that. And I think what you're saying, I would like to see too. I'd just like to see us run some things where we get our shooters a couple of open looks rather than have it just be off transition. But I also think the other thing, I agree with Coach. I think the big decision is about Pickett. And I think you try to treat him. I'm trying to remember who it was we played that we kind of took that philosophy earlier in February, just to let them have theirs and hold everybody down. And I can't remember which team we were playing. It was obviously a Big Ten opponent, but I'm drawing a blank here. It might've been Purdue. Might've been that first game with the first game with Edie. We allowed him to just basically get his and shut everybody down. That's what I do. I'd go with let Pickett get his and hold everybody else.
You don't have a good match. I don't think you have a great matchup for Pickett. I really don't think you do.
Most teams don't. That's why he's so good.
No, of course. Yeah.
Okay. So obviously Indiana plays tomorrow in the semifinals. That game will be at 3:30 Eastern time. The game before is Purdue and Ohio State. I do find it interesting. I mean, you know, Purdue has had a terrific season. It is interesting that they faced basically the easiest regular season schedule that they could possibly have, you know, based on who you get home and away and all that stuff. And now, so far through the Big Ten tournament, they have faced the easiest possible path they could have with the lowest seeds in every game because they faced Rutgers and now Ohio State, which is just
interesting. Ohio State almost beat them this year, too.
I know. And Ohio State's playing better. You got Mark Titus back in Chicago. There's a little Ohio State magic happening.
He's actually
happening.
Not in Chicago yet, Jared. I think you should know that. He's broadcasting out of New York right now.
Oh, okay.
He's still living in Los Angeles too.
Okay.
Titus is building something. So is Ohio State. There you go.
Yeah. Okay. So here's my question to you guys, since we won't be able to talk about this before Indiana's game. Who are you rooting for in that one? I mean, I think it's kind of easy, but there is, you know, there would be some fun to potentially playing Purdue for a third time, as Robbie Hummel talked about. But who are you going to be rooting for in that game?
Ohio State minus Sensabaugh, 100%.
Because then if you win, you would play them in their fifth game in 5 days.
And it's going to be a pro IU arena versus, you know, there'll be some Purdue support if you face Purdue. It basically I feel like a home game, I think, because I guarantee you no Buckeyes went, I want to go to the Big Ten tournament this year. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
I've never been able to bring myself to root for that team in black and gold, and I'm not going to start tomorrow.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. If it happens, that'll be a fun little thing. At some point, we'll play each other in the Big Ten tournament final. But I agree with you. If Ohio State can do it again, then that's fine, and then we'll try and take care of business ourselves.
I do think one lingering question, Jared, I have, and I'll be interested to see what you guys think. Does 3 games in 3 days catch up with Penn State a little bit tomorrow? Is that possibly something that would affect their shooting that will help us tomorrow?
Very well could.
Yeah,
Could. Did that affect Maryland tonight playing their second game in 2 days and they struggled shooting in the second half? You know,
three games in 3 days. Yeah, of course it affects you. I mean, and if Indiana plays on Sunday, it's going to affect them that they played 3 games in 3 days and you've got guys who are playing a lot of minutes. It's going to. I mean, there's no way around that, but it's whether or not you can get through it. And does shooting travel through that fatigue? That's the game is does Penn State, and Penn State didn't shoot it well tonight at playing their second game. And, you know, maybe that carries, but maybe also they get their second win. You never know how this is all going to line up. So, conference tournaments are much harder than the NCAA tournament as far as it is on your body and fatigue. 100% because you don't get a rest day. So,
All right. Well, this is the assembly call. Remember to check out our friends at Home Field Apparel. You can use the promo code HOME at checkout to get 15% off your first order. Gentlemen, it is time for last call. Just like the team needs to go get some rest for the quick turnaround for tomorrow, we all need to get some rest for the quick turnaround for tomorrow. So, Coach Tonsoni, we will start with you. Your final thoughts on this Indiana victory.
It's just good to see Indiana back in its winning ways. This is 2 years in a row. They're in the semifinals of the Big Ten tournament, a tournament that has not gone Indiana's way in the past. It's good to see growth inside a game, a struggling first half, and then a really dominant second half for the most part. And it's really nice going into Selection Sunday, knowing that we're, you know, a four seed, about 98%, and then outside possibilities of maybe moving up. And I think tonight's win kept us from any chance of moving down. So that's a lot of good that's been happening. And we want to win tomorrow, and we want to win Sunday. But the bottom line is Indiana basketball is a lot closer to where we want it to be than it was a couple years ago. And a night like tonight just kind of nails that to a little bit more.
Hey, Coach, real quick, rapid fire, in or out of the tournament? Penn State? In, right?
In.
Rutgers?
It's going to be 50-50 on Sunday. We have
They're a Dayton team probably, right?
Yeah, but I wouldn't be surprised to see them out, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them in.
Wisconsin's out.
I know, right? That's not a great – yeah, Wisconsin's out.
Michigan's out. NIT.
So Rutgers is just sitting there right up, firmly on the bubble.
Yeah, okay. They want to see Vanderbilt get beat tomorrow. Clemson got beat tonight. That helps them. The key one now is
Vanderbilt. Wait, was Vanderbilt beat Kentucky?
Yeah, I believe they did.
Wow. Yeah, the chat's been talking about a meltdown over on the UK website.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to pull that up right after this. Yeah.
Oh, good.
Vanderbilt is last year's Texas A&M. They started a little bit better. They had a couple more wins. Texas A&M won three games in the SEC tournament and didn't get in. I think it's too late for Vanderbilt, but the committee always has a surprise. Notre Dame was a surprise last year, so
wasn't us getting sent to the play-in game a surprise too, Coach? For some
people,
and
we all take these tournaments a little too seriously from a bracket standpoint. You know, to have Indiana move up four or five spots was too much for a lot of us. I made the mistake. We made a mistake at Delphi Bracketology. You get enamored with each win has to move you up two or three spots when in reality a win might make you a little better than the team above you. And if that's the case, you might move up. And if that's a seed line split, yeah, then you move up a seed line. But there's too much of this, TV stuff going on to say that every win, I had someone text me, is Vanderbilt in now because they beat Kentucky? Well, that's the mentality that CBS and ESPN are throwing out there, that every win gets you in and every loss. Well, only 32 teams will win their last game before the tournament, and those are the automatic qualifiers.
Yeah.
So everyone else is going to take a loss. That doesn't mean that's even. So everyone's going to be even on the loss column. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so,
hey, Brian, I have the utmost respect for what you guys do at Delphi Bracketology. I'm just curious. I'm getting outside the Big Ten a little bit. Being a Midwest guy, I like to see the Midwest teams get an opportunity. Is the Missouri Valley and the MAC one league teams, or do Toledo and Bradley, yeah, or do Bradley and Toledo? Bradley lost in the conference tournament. No. So does Toledo have to win conference tournament tomorrow?
Yeah, both of those are one bid leagues.
Okay.
The league that I'd like to see is Conference USA. I think UAB with Jelly Walker, outstanding guard. I think that conference, FAU's in there. It becomes a two-bid league if UAB beats FAU. But if not, those conferences need that. And I also would love to see that, what Coach Marlowe is. I'd like to see the committee go a little more mid-major. But we just try to do what the committee does, and the committee's going to go by raw numbers more than anything else.
Yep. Coach Marlowe, last call.
Just how exciting it is to be in the semis for the second year in a row. It doesn't seem like it. I mean, it's just been a tournament that we have not historically done well at. And give props to Mike Woodson for some really good halftime adjustments, especially. Give kudos to the players for making a run at the end of the first half. But now we got to do it again tomorrow. I get into coach mode at this point of the year. It's like, okay, fine, we won, but now we got to do it again tomorrow night. So that to me is just my last call. Great job. Go get another one tomorrow.
Thanks to Coach Sean Soni for hanging out with us. He had a long day of watching basketball and then stuck around for an hour and 15 minutes to hang out with us.
Oh, that poor man.
We always appreciate that. Ryan, last call.
Just a good win, you know, and to get a little retribution for that loss in College Park that left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths, and no one more so than IU's players. Jalen Hood-Schifino, you know, is probably his worst game of the year. He rebounded and played outstanding tonight. Trace powered his way through, played really well. You know, it's interesting because Indiana, it's lining up for Indiana to back-to-back days to sort of, you know, get back at two of their worst performances of the season. They did that tonight, and they dominated a team that in the second half, they absolutely dominated a team that had wiped them off the floor in College Park. Well, guess what? Penn State did that to them too. And it's a chance for Indiana to take this to heart and say, let's show them how it really is. And that we're not what we showed in Happy Valley. Like, that's the big thing. And these guys need to take it to heart and take it personally. And for a guy like Trace Jackson Davis, guy like Grace Thompson, even Jalen Hood-Schifino is not going to be here next year. Take pride in the fact that you got a chance to go to a championship game. You know, I know it's a conference tournament championship game and they don't really matter to a lot of people if you're already in the NCAA tournament, but you got a chance to do something and win something, get handed a trophy and get put a banner up on a wall. You know, not many people get that opportunity, especially at Indiana over the last 20 years. So take it to heart and go out there and play with some pride, shut down Penn State early at the three-point line. Don't let them get comfortable, and then just play your game and play the way you can play, and you can beat Penn State. Even if they get hot, you can still beat them. So it's just a matter of taking pride and wanting it. And I know Trace wants it, and I know these guys all think they want it. It's a matter of how much of themselves are they willing to give for it. So we'll see tomorrow. I'm excited for it, though. It's a chance to get revenge. Either way, that game turned out, they're going to have a chance to get revenge on a team that beat them this year.
Yep.
And that's a big opportunity. And players, you know, Trace said in the post-game press conference, he said, what do you remember about that game against Penn State? He said 19 threes. He remembers. I'm sure those stats are dancing in his head. So go get them tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and you know, to your point, no conference tournaments – you know, generally aren't that special, but you know what? The first one's going to be, especially with the baggage that this program has with the Big Ten tournament, the first one is going to be remembered. And it's a huge opportunity for Trace to win something that no one else has won. And I think that would be, you know, really big for his legacy. And so I do think it's a massive opportunity, you know, and look, the theme of the Mike Woodson era through the first 2 years has been getting monkeys off our back. Mike Woodson now 3-1 in the Big Ten tournament. We're starting to learn that we don't have to fear the Big Ten tournament quite as much anymore. There's, you know, coming out and playing well, playing with confidence. And so I think, you know, I walk away from tonight feeling much better about our chances in tournament play, because this was the second straight game that you got Malik and Tamar going, which is huge, because if this team can go seven deep and be able to trust those guys and make up for each other when, you know, when some guys aren't, and when you are clicking and you have all seven guys going, boy, you can pretty much beat anybody. And so I think that, you know, Malik and Tamar sticking with it, playing through struggles, playing through, you know, fluctuating, you know, playing time and opportunities, and hitting their stride here late is huge for this team. And that's a lot of times what you see with teams that make deep runs, is it's like, whoa, where did this guy come from? You know, and someone elevating their game at the right time. Those two guys did it tonight. And when you put that with just, I mean, the almost supernatural abilities that Trace has had all season long, and, you know, the prodigious abilities of Jalen Hood-Schifino, it makes Indiana really dangerous, and that's what we saw tonight. It was a very uneven first half, but once Indiana got clicking in the second half, you saw all the reasons why a lot of people are bullish on this team as one that can make a deep run. Are they going to be able to win six games in a row? You know, to Jeff Goodman's point, that's certainly nothing that we've seen from them, so they would have to do something that we haven't seen. But to me, what tonight did is it makes me feel a lot better that, you know, if you get in the tournament, you win that first game, you get to the Sweet 16. What I saw tonight was a team that can win a Sweet 16 game, and a team that can possibly, you know, win a game after that, because you have to be multidimensional. You have to have stars who can step up and role players who know their roles. And tonight we saw the continuation of those guys stepping forward, and that's huge for Indiana. And hopefully they come ready to play tomorrow against Penn State. All right, that is going to do it for this edition of the Assembly Call. If you want to see us do the show live and be part of the live chat, make sure that you subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/assemblycall. And don't forget to go to join.assemblycall.com to join our free email newsletter. Special thank you to Bob Thompson for the music that you hear on the show, and special thank you to John Ringer of rigdesign.com for designing our logo. Thank you for listening. We'll be back to talk IU hoops again with you tomorrow after the Penn State game. Until then,
take it from me, Thomas Bryant. Keep your elbows in and your eyes on the rim. Go Hoosiers.
All right, I got to get out of here, folks. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for coming out.
Here I come, Mrs. Stansoni.
Shafino!
All right. A good day of basketball at the Big Ten tournament.
So what time? The game's 3:30 tomorrow Eastern?
3:30 Eastern. Okay. Or, 25 minutes after the first game ends.
Right. So probably 4.
Yeah. All right, man. That's fun. We needed to win this one. Yes, I feel like now everything's gravy. If you lose to Penn State tomorrow, unless you just get obliterated, like that could kind of shatter some confidence. But I feel like you got the one. Now let's go play Penn State. Let's play well. There's a chance that Indiana could play well and lose if Penn State just gets hot.
If Ohio State wins the first game, I think Indiana will be even more motivated to win the second game.
Yeah. Because they'll look
a third chance at Purdue is kind of just like, oh fuck, what do we need to prove against these guys?
I know.
Excuse my language.
It's AC after dark.
Okay.
No, I agree with you.
I think that's going to be like, oh, we got an opportunity to do something here. Whereas playing Purdue for a third time, I think they can beat Purdue a third time. It's just a matter of emotional
that's
high.
That's going to be such a physical.
Emotional game.
How those games are. Yeah. It'd be fun. It would be great theater. No question about it. But look, they got the first win. Now let's see what we can do.
Yeah.
Let's see. All right.
All right.
Have a good night, everybody. We will see you all tomorrow.
Tomorrow, Jared?
I am probably not on tomorrow. I'm going to my niece's. I know it's my niece's birthday. And she has her birthday in March, and no, it's not convenient, but, I don't think that's a very good message to send to a young girl that, a basketball game is more important than a birthday. So I'm going to be there.
Speaking of nieces.
Because we have people who can cover us. So
speaking of nieces, I'm noting my niece Poppy today found out she got into the high school she wanted to go to.
Hey. Okay. Round of applause for Poppy.
Those fancy awesome. Connecticut private schools. They're all talking about, but she got
I like the comment in the chat here. She'll have plenty of birthdays.
I know. And we won't. I know. Look, it's one of those, like if it was an emergency and we didn't have people to cover, I would probably find a way. But I'm not sure. I think we do.
If you
try to balance family and the demands of the show as best.
You're
going to
sneak that SNL, my first podcast kit into the basement and just do it to yourself. Do it with yourself.
Bye.
All right, I gotta go, guys.
All right. If you need me, Jared, I can possibly be on. I'm not 100% certain.
Is it Andy hosting?
Andy's hosting. Okay. Yes.
Okay. Do you have somebody lined up for him?
Well, I'll be on.
Oh, Ryan's.
Yeah. Okay. So if you can be on, Coach. Well, okay. Yeah.
And me shows are lazy. And but if it's Andy, me, and we get a little Coach pop in from Tonsoni,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, because Coach might pop in.
Yeah.
So I'll send you guys all the link, and then whoever can pop in, just pop in. It's tournament time. It's all hands on deck. Just be here. Let's talk hoops.
Well, now we got to get Goodman on sometime next week.
I know. We should.
All right.
Cool.
Bye, guys.
See you guys.
Thanks, guys.